glad to report to you tonight, it's that unseen hand. We don't ever see it. We see it maybe by an eye of faith, and we understand it that way, but praise the Lord, it's there, isn't it? Amen. He said, I'm going, but I'm leaving somebody. I'm going to pray the Father. He'll send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He'll be here to guide you. He'll be here to instruct you. He'll be here to reprove the things of this world and get you in the ways of righteousness. Amen. Well, take your Bible tonight. Let's look, if you will. I want to look at Psalm number 1. I want you to look at Psalm number 1, and let's talk about that a little bit tonight. Psalm number 1. And most of it, I'm sure, is very familiar to most of us. The Bible gives us just 6 short verses. Here is the writer in book 1 of the Psaltery begins with this simple thought. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for your blessing, and thank you for the songs of worship that we enjoyed tonight. I pray now you just lift our hearts through the Word of God. Just draw us close together. Help us to realize that we can be more like you and more like the description that you give here in this psalm. Help us to see that. Help us to know it. Just bless us tonight as we look at the Word of God. And I pray you just pour it into our hearts. Give us the good wisdom and the good touch of God through these things. And again, we'll just give you praise for it. If there's somebody here and they need to be drawn closer, they need to be more like you, would you please do that by your amazing grace and mercies? And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look here at this little psalm with me, if you will. And here's what I want you to think of. Well, if you want to title the message, I'm settled and blessed. I'm settled and blessed. And I really will tell you that if you are as this man that is described in Psalm 1, you will find yourself in that situation, really. You'll find yourself as a settled and blessed person. Now, I want you to just talk about that word with me just for a minute. Let's think of it. The Bible starts out here, and just realize this. I mean, in the beginning of anything, if you're reading, any chapter or any book of the Bible, and you look at that first chapter, it kind of sets the tone for the whole thing. It gives you an idea. Now, I understand the book of Psalms is a collection of these psalms or songs that are given to be sung. But this first one, I mean, the very first one that is the introductory psalm, it is something that sets the precedent. It talks about the blessedness of the person that's in the Lord. Amen? I mean, the blessedness of the person that's in the Lord. And then it also tells us, through the reading of both sides of this, of the condition and the destination of that man that's ungodly. I mean, it gives you a very strong introduction to a lot of what else you're going to read throughout the rest of those 150 chapters. It gives you some insight and some understanding into all of those things. I mean, hey, the difference is this, that there is a difference in the saved and the lost. There's a difference in a man that's right with God and a man that's not right with God. And it tells you, hey, one man has got some good things going on for him, the man that's saved, and the man that's unsaved, he's got some bad stuff coming his way. Amen? I mean, it's just that simple. And I'm telling you, you got just 6 little verses here, but it unpacks so much to let us know the direction that this whole thing is going to take eventually. Now, I know there's talk about when you begin to read Psalm 2 and maybe 3 and 4, and you see how that David talks about there are enemies of the Lord, and there still are enemies of the Lord today. But I want you to know, God can still handle anybody that wants to buck up against him. Amen? And again, he tells you all of that in this very first psalm. And I want you to look at this also. If you'll notice, that very first word in Psalm 1, verse 1, it said, blessed. Blessed. I don't think we have quite got anything in the English language that gives us a strong enough description of what that word blessed means. If you remember, Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount, and as he's teaching that Sermon on the Mount, he uses that word in the book of Matthew chapter number 5 as he's beginning this, and he talks about, you know, blessed are the so-and-so and so-and-so. He goes through all of those folks, and he said they're blessed or blessed as we render it. But what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, it is a word that is E-S-H-E-R, Esher, and the idea is a little more deep than the idea of just, we say sometimes, well, blessed means that you're happy. And it does. It does mean that you're happy, but it means that how you got there happened in a particular way. I mean, listen, some of us can wake up tomorrow and, I mean, we can be happy when we get up. But you know what? In about 10 minutes, some of it can turn upside down. Amen? I mean, your box of Little Debbie's could be empty. Your coffee cup could run out. I'm just telling you, a lot of stuff. And then you ain't happy, right? I mean, that thing can change over in a hurry. But the idea of happiness here, I mean, you could say, well, blessed or happy is the man, and go through these things that he's saying. But he's got a little bit more depth to this understanding than just you'd be happy to stay away from the bad guys and to read the Bible. I mean, a lot of people will interpret those first few little verses that way. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I mean, you could get that idea and say, well, if I want to be blessed, I got to stay away from them and I got to do this. Well, okay, that's good. That's probably a good thing and a right thing. But the idea of this blessedness takes on something that's a little deeper. The idea of it is this. This is what the Hebrew word means. It means to be blessed is to be in a state of well-being that is rooted in the favor of God rather than your fleeting emotions. I mean, it says this, God is mine. The Lord, as he says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a blessed man. I mean, when you know, when you have the absolute assurance that you know that you're the Lord's and he's yours. That's what he's saying. Blessed is this man. Because, and really you get to the idea of these things that he's saying, it is really the idea of this, that we don't have those fleeting emotions to make us happy, because as I say, that can change any moment. Your emotions, you could be, as I say, happy now, and just a few minutes you could be something just wreck your world and rock your little emotions and tear you up, make you sad and hurt your heart and everything else. And it could happen just that quick, right? It can happen. You can get that phone call and the doctor say, man, I got bad news. You can get a call from your job and they say, I got bad news. You don't have a job anymore. Somebody call you from the bank and say, hey, they've taken everything you got out of your bank funds. And that would change your day. But I'm telling you, when you're blessed by the Lord, you understand that no matter what happens in your life, that he's still yours. You're like Job was. When Job told his wife, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, woman, should we just receive good things at the hand of the Lord and not bad things? He said, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? So that's what this thing is rooted in, is the idea that it is a state of our well-being that is rooted in the fact that God has his favor upon us. It is grounded in a covenant of his faithfulness and our obedience toward God. I mean, we can do that, and it just really seems to indicate that true happiness flows from a right relationship with God. When your relationship with God is right, I mean, it sure does help a whole lot of other stuff. Amen? You ever see somebody that you just absolutely knew was just, I mean, man, they was right with God. They were saved, and they were just living it. And you just couldn't spoil their day. You just couldn't do anything to wrinkle them up. I mean, man, something would come and they'd say, oh, well, this is the Lord's will. Let's just go this way. And I'm not talking about just being dumb and oblivious to stuff. I'm just saying, hey, when something came their way, they took it in the right stride. Now, as I say, all of us in the flesh, we're apt to have some bad days and bad times, but man, when you can look at it and say, but I'm still saved. And that, I believe that's why Jesus told his disciples, when they came back, you know, he'd sent them out two by two. They came back, they gave a report, and they said, even the devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, don't you get to shouting and running around because of that. He said, but you ought to rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You've got a right relationship with God, and that you can rejoice in all the time. Amen. Some of this other stuff might not be there every day. So he's saying those things. And look at it this way, if you will. I mean, let's look at these few verses and talk about this relationship. First of all, I think you can say this, that the Lord and this relationship that we have, he gives us some directions for this relationship. There are some directions. Here we see some directions for this relationship. First of all, notice there in that very first verse, there's some things that he says here. If you want to have this right relationship, don't do these things. Listen to what he says. Blessed is the man that, and then he goes into some negatives, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He said, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I want to tell you this. Look, you and I don't need to be doing this to be seeking our advice from ungodly counsel. Can I tell you, you don't need to run to the things of this world and say, help me figure out what I ought to do. Amen? I mean, that's the furthest thing from me and you as a Christian as what there ought to be. But you notice what he said. A man that wants to have this right relationship and realize that God's favor is on him, he said, here's what he does not do. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You're not out here moving your way along and realizing that you are seeking ungodly counsel. Don't you go out here and start asking the devil and his crowd for some advice, because they'll give you some advice, but it won't be right. Amen? Don't listen to them. Do not get your information from a terrible source. Amen? Oh, listen, it happens all the time, though, doesn't it? Well, I heard so-and-so say this, and they told me I ought to do that, and blah, 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 blah. Can I tell you the best thing you can do? Crawl on your face, pray and ask God, and seek the favor and the will of the Lord. Don't get your stuff from an ungodly source. He said that there are people, and that, as I say, we got them all over the place. They are seeking some help from ungodly counsel. Amen? I tell people a lot of times, they say something about, you know, marriage counseling. I say, you need to find you a good Christian counselor. Because you can go outside these find counselors, find people that offer help and they have and all that. And they try to help. But, buddy, they don't do it in the right way. Amen? I mean, hey, they'll tell you, oh, here's what y'all do. Y'all just leave your husband and get out here and just do your thing and be yourself and help yourself to what you want. Hey, can I tell you? Hey, sometimes it sounds right, but you better get your mind made up. Godly counsel is the best. Amen. So he said, look, you need to not be found, not seeking, he's saying, seeking this counsel from the ungodly. Second of all, he said, you don't need to be standing around with sinners. You see that? He said, that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You and I don't need to be standing, looking, or acting like the sinners. And they say, well, you know, they're doing pretty good. That looks okay. They're doing fine. Let me go over there and hitch up with that. Let me go walking, and pretty soon you'll be standing around with that bunch and their ungodly thinking, their ungodly ways, and their ungodly deeds that they're involved in. Hey, you'll be right in the middle of that. Don't do it. Amen? He's saying, look, you want to be the blessed man? Well, here's some stuff you don't do. Your relationship with God should have more weight upon it than seeking your counsel from the ungodly or standing up the way of sinners. And look at what he says last of all, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see the progression of this? First of all, you see that it's people that are just striding around with them. They're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And then they're standing around with them. And finally, they just plumb sit down with them. Amen? Can I tell you, if you'll look at that progression, that's the progression that got Lot into trouble over in the Old Testament. Lot looked over and he saw the well-watered plains over near Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, you know, that looks pretty good. And so he goes over there and he begins to listen to them and say, hey, come on in, Lot. We're going to have you, and you'd be part of our community. You'd be part of that. And pretty soon, he's in the middle of a bunch of hellish and devilish actions. And then you know what he does beyond that? He just kind of stands around there with them. He doesn't leave. He doesn't run. He doesn't fly away. He stays right there, stands around. And pretty soon, he's sitting in the middle of Sodom. And I'm telling you, that's what happens to a lot of folks. They get in it. They get comfortable with it. And then pretty soon, they just sit down right in the middle of it. And that's what he's saying. Look, if you want to have the right kind of relationship between you and God. And listen, I want to tell y'all something. I'm not telling y'all, hey, here's Mr. Super Joe Christian right here, and I've never done. I've done some of it myself. Listen to the wrong people, run with the wrong crowd, and just practically got ready to sit down with them and say, hey, count me in on whatever it is we're doing. You'll find yourself in a world of trouble. Amen. Can I tell you, thank God for praying mamas and daddies. Amen. They probably prayed me and you out of a whole lot of problems that we could have had we went our way and thought of our wants and our wishes and their desire. We would have lined up and said, well, I'll just follow them. Hey, the crowd is going to hell. Amen. Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate, and there is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. He said, and few there be that find it. Amen? So you better consider some things and look, get your directions for this relationship. I mean, here's some don'ts for these things. He said, don't. I mean, don't be seeking that ungodly counsel. Don't be standing with the sinner. Don't be sitting down in the seat of the scornful. Do not find yourself in that position, because it does nothing but good. Amen? What Grandma used to say, you lay down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. Amen, right there. I mean, that's pretty short and sweet, but that gets you to the point of it, right? Amen. So, first of all, realize that. I mean, here's some don'ts for the directions and having this relationship. But second of all, notice what he says in verse number 2. He said, here's what you don't do. If you want to be that blessed man, don't. But then he said, but, here's the right direction. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. 3, he said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen? So let's talk about the positive side of this. Let's look at the delight that you can have in this relationship. He said, but his delight. I mean, your pleasure, your design, your thinking, your delight. I mean, your joy runs over when you get into this position. Stay away from the other position. Don't do that. And then here's what you ought to do. Delight. Find the delight that you can have in this relationship. Well, how do we find that? Well, first of all, the placement that is seen here. Notice the placement. Look what he says. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You're not under the law. You're not pressed by the law. But he said, your delight is in the law of the Lord. What are you saying? I'm saying this. A lot of times we look at the law and we say, oh, preacher, I want to stay away from the law. Man, listen, the Bible says here you can have a delight in the law. Amen? There's a delight in the law. The Bible tells us that the law is right. The law is good. The law is holy. The law comes from God. And you know what? If you're saved and you're living right, Jesus has saved you. There is a delight for me and you in the law of the Lord. If you love Him, He'll put you in a place where you'll say, thank God for your word and for all the told us. And I just like to be of that. Amen? His delight is in that law. And He not only has He got a delight in it, He said, man, that's what you want, right? He said, His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. When you and I have that law of the Lord, when we understand it and we make that our place, we find that it becomes our peace. There is a peace that is found in this law. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? He said His delight's in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. I mean, it will bring you a peaceful satisfaction when you meditate on the Word of God. Amen? I tell you, one of the best ways, if you have trouble going to sleep at night, just get you some Bible verses. I'll tell you, put you to sleep. Amen? He don't want you thinking on the Word of God. He doesn't want you meditating. He doesn't want you rehearsing. He doesn't want you to get your mind on that. He wants to tear you up and get you bent out of shape and thinking about this and that. No, hey, just get your mind on the things of God. Amen? And the psalmist says here, the psalmist says, look, he said His delight is in that law of the Lord. And that law is what He thinks about day and night. The placement of it, we're in it. I mean, we're right there with it. But then there's a peace that comes from it. A peace and a pleasurable thinking that comes into our hearts and our minds when we're thinking on the Word of God. You know how that ties in the New Testament? Well, Paul says this. I'll flip over here to the book of Philippians in chapter number 4, and you've heard it a whole lot, but listen to what he says. Paul says this in Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brethren, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Can you imagine that when your thought life gets in the right place, you're thinking on the good things of God, you're thinking on stuff that's honest and true and lovely and of good report. I mean, when you're thinking that way, hey, the devil can't get a place. He will not be able to get in and do anything in your thought life unless you let him. Amen? But you know what Paul said that would do? That would give you the peace of God down deep in your heart. Man, you think on Him. You meditate on the things of God. You let your heart get on it. And, hey, I'm just telling you, you'd be on shouting ground for too long. Amen? You'll be at a place where it's just where God shows up in your heart and in your life. And He says, look, it's a delight. He said, in His law doth He meditate. And His delight is in that. So it's the placement of it. I'm in the law. I'm thinking in the law. But the pleasure and the peace that's found in it. But don't you notice this? He talks about the production that this gives. Look what he says in verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You see that? Now, I'm no agricultural expert, but I do know this. Your plants, your trees, your flowers, your vegetables, whatever you got, they need water. And can I tell you, the best water, it ain't when you go out there with a water hose. And I mean, sometimes you got to do that, right? We've had to do it here lately because of the lack of rain. But isn't it good when you got a natural source of water? And the Bible says here that a man, a person that has this relationship with God is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He didn't say just a river. He said the rivers. R-I-V-E-R-S. Rivers. There's more than one. Thank God there's water that's coming over here that's joy. Some that's coming over here is peace. Some coming here is love. Some that's goodness and mercy and grace. Thank God you're right there in the middle of all of it. You're getting that water. Amen. You're getting that water. What's that going to do for you? Well, look what he says it does for you. He said that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He said, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen? Woo! You get that plant, that tree, that flower, whatever it is, you get it watered properly. You get it especially with a natural source of water. You let that get in there. Son, it'll just tone it up and tune it up on it. I mean, it'll help it. It'll begin to grow. And when it begins to grow, you know what it does? It begins to flourish. And as it begins to flourish and grow, it'll bring forth some fruit, and it'll come out at the right time when it's supposed to. And man, I'm telling you, he said, a person that has this relationship and has this walk with God, has this life, and their thought life, they're on the law of God, they're thinking about the Lord's word, they've got all this stirring on the inside of them. Woo! I'm telling you, that's how they do it. Amen. I used to wonder sometimes when my daddy would go through some things and stuff happen, and he'd just have a smile and he'd just shout and laugh. And I'm like, how in the world is he doing that? This right here is how he did it. He did it because he didn't let that other stuff get him. He didn't let that drag him down. And I'll tell you, I'm sad to say many times I do let it get me down. But buddy, I'm working on it. And I want it. I want that flourishing. I want that nourishment. I want that abiding that comes from knowing him and those waters of all those things he's got. And it begins to get on the inside of those roots and help that plant to grow. And man, it'll bring forth some fruit at the right time in your life. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You ever look at people and say, man, they just keeps turning out good for them. Everything they're doing. Now, they may be struggles and trials that you don't understand, you don't see, but God's still right there taking care of them and blessing their lives because they say, I've got a relationship with him. So that's what David, the psalmist, is saying, that you've got this relationship, and it's the right kind of relationship, and delight. There's a delight in this relationship. All right, let's look at one last thing, if you will. Look at those last three verses. He says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, he says, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want you to think about this. There is determinations for those that are outside of this relationship. There are some things that have been determined for those that don't enjoy this relationship with the Lord. Those that don't delight in his word. Those that are over there taking that crazy counsel and walking with the sinners and sitting in the seat. I mean, there is something set up for them. And look what he said. Six. He gives us an insight into those outside this relationship. They're out on the outside, and their lives will become an absolute disaster. Their lives will go to pieces. Why is that, preacher? Well, let's just look what he says. He says, the ungodly are not so. The linguist or the theologian says that when you read that, says the ungodly are not so, that it really, really reads like this in the Hebrew. It says, but they are not so, not so. It doubles up. It's a double whammy of this not so. In other words, he's saying, It ain't working like that for them that ain't got this relationship. Amen? I mean, he said, the ungodly, They don't have, no, they do not have this. He said, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. First, notice this, that he begins to, the character that is seen in them. The character, they're like the chaff. You know what a chaff is? Chaff is the hull that's left when seed and the outer covering are separated. They call that the chaff. If you remember, you go over to the book of Ruth and you see how that Boaz was down winnowing his grain and what they did with that. They took us out to a place in Israel where they had a little hillside and they throwed their seed grain out there and they would get these big fans and they'd wave those fans and those husks, we call them husks, they would begin to rise up in there and they'd begin to get caught and blown away by the wind. The seed was heavy enough to stay. It had some substance to it. But those shells, the outside of it, that chaff would blow away. Why? Because it's empty. It had nothing of value or help to weigh it down. It wasn't worth anything. And that's what he's saying here. He said, this is how the ungodly are. Look at their character. They're empty, dead, and gone. That's the character of folks. Hey, they may look like they're having a big time. They may party. They may carry on. They may have worldly goods. But one of these days, they're going to come up empty. I mean dead, dry, dull, gone, empty. Amen? If you go over and read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll see that the writer in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, begins to talk about vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And that word vanity means empty. I mean, it's vain. There is vanity. Everything under the sun, the writer says there in that book of Ecclesiastes, he said, everything under the sun, it's all vanity. What does that mean? Worthless, empty, and not good for anything. And here the Lord says the same thing. The ungodly are not so. They don't have a prosperous life. They're not like a tree planted by the water. They don't bring forth their fruit in their seed. I mean, they're just no good. They are not so, but they're like the chaff, he says, which the wind driveth away. Do you know what the wind does to them seeds that are good grain? They just fall back down to the ground. They don't go anywhere. They're not blown around by every wind and problem of this life. Thank God, hey, they're the ones that have the right relationship. Amen? So it reveals their character. But then you see not only is their character seen, but their company is judged. Look what it says in verse number 5. Therefore, because of this, because they're empty, because they have nothing, because there's no substance to them, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Can you believe that? Yeah. I'm telling you, Revelation chapter number 20, it talks about how that the dead, small and great, were there before God. Go read that sometime when you get a chance. We won't do it now. But go read. It said the small and the great. What it means by that were those that were, if you will, had a name. I mean, those mighty. Those that were renowned. Those that were educated. Rich. Those that owned properties and goods and had money. All of that. Everybody's standing there one day before the throne of God. But he said, you know what? God said, looks at them, and it doesn't matter whether they're small or whether they're great. They get judged out of the things that are written in the books. The books are open. And if your name is not found in the book of life, I don't care if your name's Rockefeller, Gates, I don't care if you're Jeff Bezos and on Amazon. It doesn't matter who you are. God's going to look and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, but I was rich. God's going to say, not in my book. Your name has not been recorded. Amen. Oh, well, I was a famous football star. I was a big entertainer. I was a rock star. God said, it don't matter. Your name's not here. Depart from me. But thought, yeah, well, our thinking, you know what, it winds up just like this. They're judged. I mean, their company is judged. He said the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. There'll be a big company on there. He said sinners can't stand in the congregation of the righteous. There's going to be a host in heaven. Thank God me and you's going to be there. Just go ahead and shout and wave over that right there. Amen. We're going to be there. But guess what? The ain't stand there. Amen? I mean, there won't be any sinners among that glorified that are praising and worshiping. They won't be any sinners there. They'll all be saved sinners. Amen? Us that were sinners, but we've become redeemed. We'll look up at him and we'll say, for thou hast saved us out of every kindred, every tongue, every nation. You've redeemed us by your blood. Amen. Now, there'll be another crowd, though, he said, and that they'll not be able to stand in the congregation of the righteous. They'll be over there by themselves, and their company loaded maybe with numbers, but, brother, there won't be anything else to them. All they are going to have The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. It's appointed unto men in Hebrews 9:27, appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. There is a day of judgment coming. How you going to stand? There's an old song we used to sing some when I was a kid out of that Redback book that says, there's a sad day coming by and by. For the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? And the chorus said, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? But what I'm telling you, that's a sobering thought. When you have to look at your life and say, am I ready to stand before the God of this universe? Am I ready to stand there and see what's going to happen that day? I'm here to report to you, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you'll stand. Hey, there's a bema seat. There's a judgment seat of Christ we'll stand before. But it won't be for saved or lost situations. It'll be for how we behaved, how we worked, or what we did for God. All of that will be judged. But buddy, you're saved and you're going to heaven. But there's going to be another judgment. And he said the ungodly cannot stand. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue shall confess unto the glory of God that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? So he says, look, this is what's going to happen. Some determinations for those that are outside this relationship. Their character is seen, their company's judged. And I want you to notice this. Their condition is one of final destruction. Listen to what he said. For the Lord knoweth, in verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly, they're going to be separated. And they're going to be turned out into a lake which burneth forever and forever. And the fire is never quenched. That's going to happen one of these days. And I'm just telling you, friend, folks better get ready for that, because that condition is going to be final destruction. They're not going to be annihilated. They ain't going to go in and burn up. And he was begging for a drop. He told Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Just let him dip his finger, listen, the tip of his finger in water, and let him put it on my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. It's going to happen on and on and on. You believe that rich man's still there today? Amen, I do. I believe he's still there today, suffering in those torments that are coming. You know, he says here, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And when you understand that, it usually signifies that God has a regard to those that are his, with an interest in their lives and a loving affection toward. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows. He sees us. He loves us. And he knows us. But he said, look, the ungodly, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Their way is not the saved's way. They're going a different way. I've seen folks, and you may have seen it too recently, on some posts, and if I even wrote a book, called it Love Wins. Everybody's going to heaven. I don't believe that. I mean, if that's so, why did Jesus even come and die? If that were so, I don't believe that. I believe that's heresy. I believe it's false. I believe it's the doctrine of devils. Amen. I don't believe it's right. But I believe there's a place for the redeemed. We're going to stay with him forever. Amen. We're going to be with the Lord forever. And I believe there's a place of eternal punishment for those that reject Christ and his salvation. I don't know where you stand tonight. Brother William, come on. We'll get ready to sing something if you will. But I'm telling you, I'm saddled.